All right, everybody, welcome back to the Maybaum Perspective. I'm John Cates here with John Chambers, and today we're going to spend a little bit of time just sort of talking about the market, what's been going on, and sort of what we can see coming up. So, John, do you maybe want to start just with just sort of a general overview of what things are looking like in the market in terms of listings and pendings and sales and those kind of things?
Absolutely, yes. Good to be with you today. And yeah, I always refer to our M stats that are available that I always say make us look a lot smarter than we are because it does the work for us. But when we look at our market, and of course, we're involved, as we all know, in two MLSs, Aiken and the Augusta, North Augusta area. Right out of the gate, I'll tell you, it looks like December is going to be a strong closing month because pendings were up in both markets between 50 and 55% for the month of October.
Okay.
So December looks like it'll be pretty good. Gotcha. But no, when you look through these, I mean, I hate to use the word, it's almost like a boring market right now. Yeah. I mean, there's no big spikes, no big valleys, but as you go through this, almost a mirror image of last year. Now, listings, I will tell you, are up in both markets, 6% in Augusta, 9% over in Aiken. And so we're starting to see the inventory climb. I mean, we're up to 2,500 units for sale in the Augusta market, almost 1,300 in the Aiken market. So we've consistently seen that climb. But again, pendings are up, meaning we'll probably have a good December. Closings so far this year are just about even with last year.
Yeah.
And so no big spikes. Average sales price is climbing a little bit year to date in both markets, exactly 3.2% in both markets. And so, you know, that along with the interest rates that are still hovering around 6%, just a little over, is maybe giving us a little challenge in affordability.
Yeah.
But all in all, as we like to say, a stable market.
Do you think from what you're seeing, you would describe it as a buyer's market, a seller's market, or maybe a little more balanced?
Up until now, I've been saying pretty balanced. I think that it's leaning more towards a buyer's market right now, only because stuff's starting to sit a little bit longer. The days on the market are creeping up.
Okay.
Yeah. And then my big indicator, not just the stats, but talking to the agents and the overall feedback I'm getting is stuff starting to sit a little bit. You're starting to see agents do more broker open houses.
Gotcha.
You know, so that
trying to draw more people
just
out.
Just trying to get people there. Mm-hmm. And so, if I had to choose one or the other, it's kind of almost balanced.
Yeah.
But I think leaning more towards a buyer's market now.
Yeah. And I think that's consistent with what we're seeing nationally too. I think that what I hear is that buyers are just being more selective.
Yeah.
They are starting to see that rates, you know, while dropping slowly, probably aren't going to be radically different a year from now than they are now.
Yep.
And so as they start to plan for when is a good time to buy, inventory continues to creep up, which seems to be happening both in Augusta and in the Aiken MLS. There's more for them to choose from.
Yep.
Affordability probably isn't going to change too much over the next year. So they've got options that they don't have to move. They can take their time.
Yeah, they've got some selection now with the, you know, the broadening of the inventory.
Mm-hmm.
And again, buyers know that stuff is not just flying off the shelf like it was. So they're, as you said, can be a little more selective and a little more patient, I guess.
Yes. Yeah, that's right. Well, that makes sense. And I think, you know, it's a timely season to do this podcast because the rates are probably going to get cut again pretty soon. The Fed's going to meet one time before the end of the year. And as they do that, I think most experts are predicting probably another quarter point drop. But as we know, when that happens, that doesn't necessarily mean that mortgage rates drop, you know, in the same way that those rates do with the Fed. So I'm like you, I don't see rates moving substantially lower, but I do think that once we start to get into the fives, if they've got that 3 or 4% interest rate from a few years ago, that gap is not nearly what it used to be.
Correct. Exactly. And I think, you know, buyers are educated and, you know, they understand, I think exactly what you just said, that those rates are kind of, they are what they are right now.
Right.
And so they can just, you know, sit back and watch and wait a little bit.
Yeah, that's right. And I think something else that we're seeing in the market, at least I think from talking to our agents, is there are pockets in different neighborhoods, particularly in luxury, mm-hmm. where inventory has not come up as much, and we're still seeing multiple offers. I know that, you know, inventory overall is up, but I know that on the Hill, and I know that, you know, sort of behind the gate at Riverwood are two examples that there's still not a ton of inventory.
Right.
And I think that when an attractive house comes up, there is a lot of demand for those homes, not overall, but we're still seeing that maybe in some pockets in some luxury markets.
Oh, absolutely. And we always say in any market, a nice house in a good location that's priced at fair market value, mm-hmm. it will sell.
Yeah.
And so when we talk about these markets and what they're doing and it's stable and it's steady and all that stuff, you know, it's important to note that when you look at these numbers, I mean, we are still selling a lot of houses. Just in last month, 800 plus mm-hmm. homes. Almost 600 homes in Augusta closed and almost 300 in Aiken.
Okay.
So, yeah. I mean, you're looking at, you know, 800 total closings for 1 month.
Right.
And, you know, over right at 7,000 in one market, 3,000. So we're, you know, we're getting up near 10,000 homes
right.
For the year.
Yeah.
So,
well, for some of our agents that are out there, I know one of the things that we continue to hear is that some of their sellers still think it's 2021 right. or 22
yep.
and are a little unrealistic in their pricing. If you were coaching an agent that is about to go list a house and maybe has a seller that's thinking that way, what are some tips that you would give them as they're talking to that seller?
I think it is vital that as an agent, we understand the market. We keep up with what you and I are talking about mm-hmm. right now, and we educate those sellers. I mean, you have to do that because, you know, the worst thing you can do, not just for yourself as an agent, but for your client, the seller, is put a house on the market that's not properly priced,
right?
With, you know, the expectations that it's going to sell quickly and then it mm-hmm. sits. That's no good for anybody. And so I think the biggest thing we can do is be honest with the seller, back up that honesty with statistics that right. they can see and understand, and just educate them on the you know, the best way to put the most money in your pocket on that bottom line is to price mm-hmm. it at fair market value right out of the gate.
Mm-hmm.
And statistically, we know that.
Yeah.
That's what puts more money is pricing it right up front rather than having to start it too high and reduce until finally you've got something that's stale. People are wondering what's wrong with it. I mean, it's basic, you know, real estate 101.
Sure.
But I think where we get in trouble as agents is sometimes it's hard to, you know, to tell that seller what they don't want to hear.
Right.
If we know ahead of time that they think it should be here, we know it should be here. Now we got to have an honest conversation.
Right.
But you really owe it to them to tell them the truth.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's great.
Yeah.
We'll kind of jump into something else that has to do with the industry and the market. I know that, you know, when the NAR lawsuit sort of came down and everything, everybody was wondering how that would affect commissions and the rates of commissions. What have you seen recently? Are you still seeing that those are holding steady, or how has that really played out over time?
Yeah, it's been interesting. I mean, I will say this, we call it the new world since, mm-hmm, you know, we have to do things differently now. Everything's negotiated. I like it. I think it's fair.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's transparent. I think it, you know, it plays into the hand of a good negotiator,
which
that's how the world works. I mean, everything's a negotiation and, we have seen agents adapt to it very well.
Right.
And so I think now that we've gotten used to it, it's not a bad thing. I think it's a good thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I saw something the other day, don't quote me, but, cause I can't remember where, but I'm seeing that commissions have held steady.
And maybe
even slightly ticked up a little,
mm-hmm.
Because now you can negotiate it.
Right.
So I think, that's another good point to make to an agent. you owe it to yourself and more importantly to your client to learn how to negotiate and be willing to do that.
Yeah.
I mean, because at the end of the day, our job is to represent that seller or buyer's best interest.
Yeah, that's right. And I think we tell our agents all the time, and you and I talk about this, John, you know, John's been doing this for decades, and I've got a, you know, a law degree, and a lot of the times it takes both of us talking about some of these scenarios because it's gotten so complicated.
It has.
And I think that when agents are talking to their clients, you know, it's not just, can you help me sell my house,
right?
Or can you help me find the right house? There's so much technology and so many tools out there that has become such a small piece of why you need an agent. And it's so complicated out there. And as buyers have more flexibility as to what they want to do, you know, we talk all the time that you've really got to have a professional real estate agent that not only can, you know, negotiate the commission, but they're worth it.
Yeah.
They're worth it because these transactions are so complicated, especially since, you know, you first got in the business. And we talk about all the time that that contract used to be one page, but it all kind of goes together with what am I getting when I hire a real estate agent?
Right.
And the best ones, the ones who are the professionals, are worth every penny, and I think should be able to negotiate their fees.
Absolutely. And I mean, and you hit on it. Now more than ever, you need a real pro as an agent, because as you said, and we talk about it all the time, it's gotten so complicated. And to agents, I would stress, I know sometimes it's an inconvenience to come to a sales meeting or
a
class offered, but the training is vital right now because the industry's changing. Our responsibilities are greater. Our liability is greater.
Yeah.
And again, you owe it to your client to be well-trained and well-versed in what's going on there.
Yeah.
And, you know, when you consider how little time we have to invest to get a real estate license.
Right.
And now here we are thrown out into this complex world of real estate. We really need to be trained and up to date on, you know, what's happening in the industry. So I would encourage agents to show up every time we offer something like that. And then in addition to that, spend time with your manager, just, you know, getting updated, getting trained, getting brought up to speed, because it's moving fast.
Yeah.
It's moving fast.
Yeah, it is. And I know we talk about how can we as leaders in the company really help our agents. And, you know, like you said, I know, especially to a really successful seasoned agent, you know, trying to convince them that they need training may seem counterintuitive to them or something that it's like, I don't know that I've got the time for that. But like you and I talk about so often, everything is changing so quickly.
Yeah.
And the contracts are being changed constantly by both states.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Julie Whitesell in our Aiken office is on the front lines of that. And, you know, being able to talk to her, she is always telling us, look, this is changing. That's changing.
Absolutely.
The way that people are doing business is changing. And so, one of the things that we're going to do more of in 2026 and beyond is more one-on-ones, more small groups. Folks don't feel like you've got to come to some big training.
Right.
We're going to try to make those more specific. So to have more people in those groups that are at your same or similar production level, you know, because some of the stuff that may be apparent to or applicable to the second or third year agent probably isn't applicable to somebody that's done it for 20 years.
Right.
So we are really trying to tailor those. But like you said, things are changing so quickly and it's so dynamic and so fluid. You've got to be prepared to go and answer these questions that your clients might have.
Well, and you know, I say this not to scare anybody, but just the reality of it. And we see it in the industry with the different classes and things we go to. If you give bad advice to a buyer or seller, you can cost them thousands of dollars.
Right.
And so many times it points back to us as the agent.
Yeah.
If we give bad advice,
right.
I mean, come on.
Yeah.
We can't afford that. So it does scare me a little. And that's why I'm always saying, look, we got to be in tune with what's happening.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right. Well, as we look ahead a little bit into 2026, maybe each of us could just spend a few minutes just kind of talking about what we see coming.
Sure.
I think if we've learned anything from the COVID years, it's anybody that tells you they know for sure what's going to happen the next 12 months is lying to you.
Yep, they don't know.
But as much as you can best guess, what do you sort of see the market looking like as we look 3, 6, 9 months into the future?
Yeah, and when I look at it, I'm more of a finger on the pulse of what the agents are telling me and right. just what I'm seeing. But a couple of things I always try to keep in mind is one of them you just said is nobody really knows for right. sure. I mean, we can right. speculate based on what we know. But the other thing is I always try to remember real estate is local.
Hmm.
And there's a lot of stuff out there and noise out there about what's happening on the national level. And all that's relevant and it certainly affects us. But you know, it's local. So I think we yeah. have to look at just what's happening around us. Our local economy is strong. We've got all the industry. We got medical. We got military. We're in, and you know, you and I talk about this yeah. from Realty Alliance seminars we go to. We are so thankful to be in the market we're in.
Yeah.
All that to say, my feeling is next year is going to be pretty much a carbon copy of this year is what I'm thinking.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe depending on what the rates do,
yeah.
I think it will be slightly better, but I don't think it's going to be worse, and yeah. I don't think it's going to be a record year. Mm-hmm. I think it's going to just, you know, keep kind of creeping along like yeah. like it is. We'll see.
Yeah, yeah. See. I mean, I agree with you. I think that we've started to see over the last couple of months a slight pullback in new construction,
mm-hmm.
and I think a lot of people are trying to see what rates are going to do and seeing is there other competing product that's coming out, mm-hmm. because like you said, sort of the secret's out when it comes to our local economy. I mean, yeah. we have got more and more national builders who are looking at our market, more national developers that are looking at our market, right. and they all want to come and they see, you know, all the great stuff that's happening, whether it's with the Ford or SRS or just, you know, our local economy as a whole, you know, more and more people continue to move to Georgia and South Carolina,
yeah.
whether that's for economic or political or whatever reasons. And I think that a lot of people have picked up on that post COVID. And so that's good and that there's a lot more coming on the market. But I think those buyers are going to have more options. You and I talked earlier about interest rates.
Mm-hmm.
There's probably a few more cuts coming. But I think that what it means for mortgage rates is we'll probably still be in the 5.5-ish
yeah.
to 6 range, which yeah. which I think is a healthy range as people start to get more and more accustomed to those interest rates. They're going to continue to act on those as opposed to saying, man, if I just wait another year, rates are going to come down another 4%. I don't think that's
yeah.
the reality. I do think inventories probably continue to go up a little bit more.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that we're getting somewhat close to a sweet spot where affordability is sort of leveled out.
Yep.
Rates are coming down a little bit. Not. I don't think we'll get back to the 3s or 4s anytime soon, but they're low enough to where people can afford something.
Mm-hmm.
And when you start to look at all that, in addition to all the buyer demand that we think is out there, it should become a more balanced
yeah.
market in the next year or so. So I think that bodes well for our local economy, and I think that bodes well for our company as we start to look out into the next year.
Absolutely, absolutely. And I would love to see more first-time buyers get in the market.
Yeah.
I think we talked the other day that now the average age of a first-time buyer is 40 years yeah. old. That is
yeah.
insane to me. And then I saw something a day or so ago. It was like 20-25% of the buyers are first-time buyers. So there's only,
yeah.
you know, 1 in 4
right-ish
are
in that pot.
Are first-time yeah. buyers. And I wonder, and I'd be interested to hear your opinion on this, I wonder, does that have anything to do with like your older folks? And when I say older, I don't mean, you know, my age. I mean the 40-year-old first-time
yeah.
buyer.
Yeah.
Whether they are first-time buyer or not, they can remember when interest rates were 10,
yeah.
12%. And so, you know, 6 doesn't seem so bad.
Right.
But some of these younger buyers, you know, they saw it go from, you know, 3% to 6%.
Yeah.
And I just wonder if that causes some of them to sit on the sidelines thinking it's coming back down.
You have to think that it does. And yeah. and I think when we look sort of like at the economy and our population base as a whole, you know, what you said is exactly right. People are waiting later to get married.
Yep.
They're waiting later to have kids.
Yep.
They're waiting later to buy their first home. And I think the encouraging data points for us, at least, is that those things are still happening. Yeah. People are still getting married. Yeah. They're still having a family and they're still wanting to buy, but it's just happening much later. And so one of the things that I think about is how can we leverage, you know, we've got the largest property management company in the area. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, we talk about people are renting longer,
right?
They're renters for longer. How can we as a company be proactive in educating those renters, educating those folks of the benefits of home ownership? Because one of the things that I heard at a conference is, you know, you've got a lot of folks that are probably my age and younger. So call them, you know, 30 to mid 40s.
Right.
And they saw firsthand when they were in high school or getting out of college and first getting into the job market, their parents' homes go underwater.
Yeah.
You know, that was 2008 to 2012, where this American dream of home ownership wasn't a great situation, because you had so many folks that, you know, just assumed that things were going to continue appreciating. When the bottom fell out, I think it scarred a lot of people in that generation of, do I really want to own a home?
Right.
Is that still the great financial benefit? And it is, as opposed to renting. But it's almost like that there needs to be some education of that group of people to say, here's why it makes sense. I know you've seen some horror stories probably firsthand from your parents.
Yeah.
But when you look at the economics, especially as rents have continued to rise, it's still a good thing to own a home, and that's still a good goal for a family. So I wonder if there's some things that we can do as a company to reach out to the folks, you know, who are maybe in that renter pool, to try to create a path from renting to owning.
I can tell you, just coincidentally, the house I live in now, I bought in April of 08.
Okay.
Which, it was like the day I bought it, the market tanked. And so
they were just waiting for you.
Yeah, they was waiting on me to sign, and then the whole bottom fell out. But point being, I'm still in that house.
Right.
And now it has, it's gained a lot of equity.
Right.
So real estate still, even when you buy,
in
that market,
right,
real estate is still, if you hang on to it, it's such a wonderful investment.
Yeah, that's
so
right.
You can't be... If you're hesitant to buy, I'd say don't let the reason be because it's a bad investment.
Yeah.
It's going to be a good investment.
Yeah, that's right.
So that's no doubt. I would just tell, in talking about those, this is shifting gears a little, and I know we got to go, but as far as when you mentioned those years of the recession in 08, when the market did what it did, advice to an agent, if you're a newer agent or you've been around just 3, 4, 5 years, talk to some of these agents that have been through those market
cycles,
highs and lows, and they can be a world of wisdom as to how you can navigate through and how to, this is a whole nother topic, but how to manage your money, how to live within your means, because we're so tempted as salespeople when the market is booming, we think it's always going to be like that. Mm-hmm. So we live that way.
Right.
So, just that's just kind of a side note. If you're new, find some of these agents that have been successful a long time and say, hey, how do you navigate through these changing tides?
Right. Oh, that's great. All right. Well, I think our time's up. John, thank you
you
for doing this.
Enjoyed it.
Hopefully this was helpful, and we'll see you guys